Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up and deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Tonight, coming to you live from the poker room of Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis.
It's a packed room down here, guys. You ought to come on down. The 6 o'clock tournament just started. They've got a couple other games going here. It's a 5-10 table going that I want to sit at in a little bit.
We both played in it last week after we did the show, and we're actually drooling to get over there. I don't want to mention any names, but there are a couple of people who we really want to sit down with tonight. We will do that a little bit later, but we're happy to have you joining us live here on 590 The Fan KFNS at KFNS.com. Tonight we will have Greg Raymer on the show, the man who won the World Series of Poker main event. Can you believe it's been almost 5 years since Greg won this thing?
Unbelievable. You watch it on the TV all the time. It seems like it no more than a year or two. You know, guy. It's amazing.
So the Fossil Man will join us here in a little while. Also later on, Joe McGowan, who is the poker coach, who helped Dennis last year get to third place at the WSOP main event. And he'll join us and give some tips. And I asked Joe if he would to come up with some things for our beginning poker player listeners. Because sometimes you and I talk about things that are at your level of having been to the big dance in Las Vegas, but we've got people who are here in the room and elsewhere who are playing in much smaller limits or are playing in home tournaments. You know, everybody gets together on a Friday or Saturday night and they throw $20 or $40 into the pot and they're playing there. So Joe will have some tips on that sort of thing. And, of course, our weekly visit with the poker lawyer, Josh Schindler, coming up a little bit later on. But there's one thing we need to get out of the way right here at the top of the show. Dennis, were you on steroids last year when you went to the series?
Yeah, me and A-Rod. No problem, guys. I tell you what, sometimes I almost wish I had something out there, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours into the doggone day.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, you're fighting to keep your eyes open almost. But no, I had no help on that, I'm afraid.
What have you been up to lately? You played in any tournaments? This is like the one of the rare weeks off that you've had recently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Had a little bit of time off after it was down to the Super Bowl. I came back. I played in a charity event here a couple of days ago down in Imperial, Missouri. It was for the Special Olympics and for the Shield 24/7. We had a blast.
What Shield 24/7?
That's for the paramedics, the ambulance people to help and fund them down there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just fantastic. They were there. They couldn't have been a more accommodating host. We filled the place. I got there, you know, 30 minutes before it was starting. The entire parking lot was filled. I'm actually circling the parking lot. Somebody comes running out and waves me down, and they bring me up to the front, and they double park me in front on the thing, on that. They had, I think somebody told me last year they had like 80 or 90 players in there. This year they got 200. They filled every seat in the entire place down there.
Nice.
And we had a blast. I'll tell you what, it was just so much fun.
That's wonderful, raising money for a good cause. And when you go do something like that, do they put a bounty on your head?
Oh, do they ever.
Explain what a bounty is for people who've never played in a bounty tournament.
What it is that, of course, you're playing and trying to knock everybody out. You know, all 200 of us are basically playing against each other, knocking them out. Well, whoever knocked me out, because they were assuming I wasn't going to win it. That was so nice of them.
Yeah.
But anyhow, whoever knocked me out got a prize in it. And this particular prize, I took a duffel bag from Poker Stars down there with shirts and hats. I put some things in it from the World Series that I collected, put in a signed baseball hat from the Cardinals, nice picture. And then they added two tickets to the first Cardinal-Cub home game in St. Louis. So the gentleman that knocked me out, and he was
Didn't go to the winner of the tournament?
No, it did not.
That went to the guy who knocked
you
out?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
All right, what was the hand? Give me details.
Oh, it really wasn't that thrilling of a hand. I got short stacked and ended up winning a couple and got back up to a decent amount. We probably had, of the 200, I'm guessing 60 people left in it or something. Blinds had gone up such that everybody at the table was almost short stacked. I looked down at ace-queen suited. Pushed it in.
Mm-hmm.
Only had two guys behind me, small and big blind. Both of them shoved. And I thought, oh, here we go again. Somebody with a 2-5 that's going to try and do it. No, they had good hands. They actually played. One guy had pocket nines. The other guy had pocket tens.
Mm-hmm.
Flop came out with a 9 on it.
Mm.
It was over.
That's it. You're
that
done.
Was it. I was done.
Hand over the duffel bag.
It was gone.
Well, you know, we had Barry Greenstein on the show last week when when he gets knocked out of a tournament, he hands over an autographed copy of his book, Ace on the River.
Yep.
In fact, we played last week in the high-stakes game here at Lumiere with somebody who had knocked Barry out of a tournament, and he explained that when Barry does that, he doesn't just sign Barry Greenstein and then leave.
Yeah.
He actually diagrams out the hand that you beat him on. So in this case, he would say, I had ace-queen, you had a pair of nines, you flopped a nine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So your equivalent of that is a bag of stuff and some Cardinal tickets.
Well, that's pretty much it. I don't qualify with Barry, but it was a nice little bag, I think.
Speaking of guests, next week on the show we will have Vanessa Russo, and the week after that, Chris Moneymaker.
Yep.
Both members of Team Poker Stars Pro, just like you. They are scheduled to be here. We're going to take a break in a moment here and then come back and talk with Greg Raymer, another member of Team Poker Stars Pro. But first, our thanks to the people here at Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis, and in particular to our friend Tony Russo.
Oh, yes. Congrats to Tony, too. He's been the director of the poker room, and he just recently received a promotion. He is now the assistant casino manager. That means he not only has responsibility in the poker room, but it extends out to the blackjack tables, the slots, all the rest of it. So just like he didn't have enough to do.
Yeah.
They wanted to put some more on him.
To give you an idea, when we started the show tonight, Tony was entering his 14th hour of an 8-hour day.
Yes.
If you've never come down to a Lumiere in downtown St. Louis, it's right on the banks of the Mississippi, and a beautiful facility here with lots of great restaurants, from the buffet to the burger bar, where you and I have had many meetings before playing. They got a nice Italian place called the House of Savoy and a nice Asian food restaurant called Asia. Here in the poker room, they do tournaments 7 days a week. Friday and Saturday, they've got them at noon with a $55 buy-in. Sunday through Thursday, they do a $35 buy-in at noon and a $55 tournament at 6 o'clock. You can sign up anytime during the day and play in those tournaments. And if you're a blackjack player, they do a weekly blackjack tournament with a $30 buy-in Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. This, by the way, is how Dennis Phillips got started playing competitively. Before you were a poker player, you were a blackjack player.
I actually did. I played a number of blackjack tournaments. I won a number of blackjack tournaments. I had finished up one. I think I finished third in that particular one. A guy that was in the tournament with me said, hey, come on up here. I'm going to go play some live poker. And I kind of went, oh, this can't be good. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. That kind of worked out to your benefit.
It didn't do too bad.
So anyway, the $30 weekly blackjack tournaments are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock here at Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis. The title sponsor of this, the Lumiere Place Final Table on Five Night of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. We'll be right back. Portion of the show is brought to you by Poker Stars.
Yes, Dennis Phillips here. Find the poker star in you. Every day is game day at PokerStars.net. The clock is ticking, but time never runs out. Whether it's a sprint for a few people in a short match or a marathon for millions of chips against thousands, we have games and tournaments around the clock. PokerStars.net, the largest poker room in the world. PokerStars hosts the largest number of free-to-play tournaments anywhere on the Internet. Look for details on how you can win real prize by entering our free-roll tournaments at PokerStars.net. Play your cards right and find the poker star in you. Click on www.PokerStars.net.
Joining us now here at the Lumiere Place Final Table is a man who is known as the champion of poker from 2004, Greg Raymer, the Fossil Man. Dennis, if you're famous for your St. Louis Cardinals hat last year at the 2008 World Series of Poker, I think Greg is equally as famous, if not more so, for the Fossil Man glasses he was wearing when he won the WSOP main event in 2004. The following year, he impressed the heck out of the rest of the poker world when he came in 25th in the 2005 main event out of something like 5,600 contestants. To me, that was one of the greatest two-year runs in World Series of Poker history. Last month, he was down in the Caribbean at the PCA with you, and you guys have played a lot together, so we're happy to welcome Greg Raymer back to St. Louis, a Parkway South High School graduate, here on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. Hi, Greg, how are you?
I was waiting for the perfect moment to slip that in, so I guess I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's all that matters in St. Louis is what high school you went to. So.
Well, then I'll also mention that you also graduated from Rolla.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, mostly St. Louis area kids that go to Rolla. I think we had one guy from the Kansas City area in my fraternity. I was a Kappa Sigma at the University of Missouri at Rolla. Or I guess now it's the Missouri University of Science and Technology.
That's right. That's right. Hey, hey, when I was looking up your bio here, of course, I've talked to you several times, so I knew a lot of this stuff. But when I mentioned that you were at the PCA in the Bahamas, it said that you were in the World Cup of Poker.
Correct.
Which I don't know what that is. What is it?
Well, that's something that PokerStars created several years ago. And what it is people represent their country, and you have to win your way onto your national team. And then the teams play online against each other. I mean, a big part of the online play is getting onto your team. I mean, as you can imagine, there's a lot more people who want to get on a team than there are countries in the world who can compete against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you want to be on Team USA next year, then you have to keep your eyes open for the free roll tournaments, and then you're going to have to beat out thousands of other people to make it onto the U.S. team. Two people are put on the team because they are the tournament leaderboard leaders for the year, or I should say, how do I want to put it? I mean, these are the guys that have accumulated the most points for playing the live tournaments on PokerStars throughout the year. Uh-huh. And then two people get on the team because they win these free roll tournaments. So you can get on the team without ever risking a single penny. Once you get on your national team, the countries compete against each other to make it to the final eight or nine teams. And then those teams, when everyone on those teams wins a free trip to the World Cup of Poker venue, and this time it was at the PokerStars during the PokerStars Caribbean Adventure at the Atlantis Casino in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I was down there too.
So there were two people from every country that just got a free trip to the Bahamas and a free chance to compete for hundreds of thousands of dollars in prize money.
That's terrible that they force you and all the rest of these guys like Dennis to go down to the Bahamas in January. That's torture.
Yeah, my contract requires it. I don't have any say in the matter. I have to go.
Well, when I was down there, I kept noticing guys running around in identical shirts and everything like that. It took me a while to put together the team concept, too. How the heck do they actually score this for a team deal? How do they arrange that for the rankings?
Well, what we did is each team has four players for the online component where they can beat to be one of the final nine teams that
right.
got to the World Cup this year. Then once those nine teams make it, they add a fifth player, a professional or celebrity player to the team. So basically, you know, I was lucky enough to be the American member of Team PokerStars, chosen to play for the American team. And then, you know, we had Daniel Negreanu on the Canadian team and so forth. So, and then some countries didn't have a member of Team PokerStars who was from that country. So then those teams, PokerStars, just found some other person who was, a celebrity in that country who could play poker well.
And then is the winning country the one that has a player who's the last man standing?
What they do is all five, they set up five tables, and each table has one player from each team at it. So each of the five of us are in a separate sit-and-go. And based upon your order of finish in your sit-and-go, you get team points. Then based upon those team point totals, the team started the final table with anywhere from 25 to 50,000 chips.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to play in rotation all five of your team members, one after the other. And so you could set the order of the rotation.
Oh, wow.
And then at two times during the whole match, you were allowed to make substitutions. So you could have someone sit out his half hour and put someone else in his place.
Mm-hmm.
But other than those two substitutions, you had to play all five team members, you know, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E, in order again and again.
You know, this is good because poker is not complicated enough to sit down and try
to
win a tournament against all these other good players from all
well,
around the world.
You know, I mean, the coaching could be a little complicated, but for the most part, it isn't that big a deal. I mean, you know, you could just have set it up all randomly, and you probably weren't going to be that much worse off than if you could somehow, you know, guess the best possible strategy for how to arrange. Because it's like if you put your worst players first, then they're going to play at smaller blind levels. And if you tell them to play very tight, then they won't lose too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the guy you put in first, well, then in theory, he's the one who might play the most.
Correct.
Because if your best player is the fifth player, then he's never going to put in more time than anyone else because everyone has already put in time before he gets there.
Mm.
So, right. You know, but if you put him first and you put your worst player fifth, so now you get to level five and the blinds have gotten a lot bigger, And if your worst player is going to make some critical mistakes, he's going to cost you more chips when he does it. So, you know, even looking at the relative skill level of the five players on your team, it's not like one strategy is obviously better than the other. And to be honest, I mean, we finished fourth, and I think all of us had at least three chances to play. And we were at least 15 levels into the tournament. Because this thing started at 25-50 blinds, and the teams effectively had stacks of 25 to 50,000 chips.
Mm.
Yeah, that's
from smallest to biggest. So, you know.
We're talking with Greg Raymer from Team Poker Stars Pro here on the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com. Paul Harris and Dennis Phillips. Speaking of playing in tournaments, I talked to you a little bit last June during the World Series out in Las Vegas. We ran into each other in the hallway at the Rio, and I asked you, how's it going? And I guess we were like a week or 10 days into the World Series, and you said, oh, you know, up and down. I'm up about 60,000 at this point in cashes. And I said, well, that's pretty good. And you said,
That wouldn't have been this last year. That must have been the year before.
Oh, maybe it was the year before, yeah.
Because I was never up in this year's series.
Oh, but at the time, you said 60,000, and I said, well, that sounds pretty good. And you said, no, that's my buy-in for the horse and the main event.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's good to be – it's better to be ahead than behind, but it's not like that meant I was going to have a winning series at that point. I spent probably 100 and – last few years, I've probably spent an average of about 170,000 in buy-ins during the World Series each year.
Wow. I mean, it does add up. And I was looking at this year's schedule. It's going to be even higher this year with that 40,000 leadoff one.
Yeah, but then we're getting rid of the rebuys. And for me, that was a big expense because I played the things like the no-limit single draw deuce to seven, $5,000 unlimited rebuys.
Oh, wow.
And that tournament was going to cost me $20,000 every year minimum. I mean, you know, if I cash, I could, of course, turn a profit in it.
Sure.
But if I fail to cash, you know, then I'm losing at least $20,000 to play in that event.
Well, that brings up something interesting. We had Barry on last week, and he was on the committee that decided the schedule for the 09 WSOP.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the people that voted against the rebuys. What's your opinion on those? It sounds like
I don't understand people's objections to it because, from my point of view, it's just a different tournament. For people to say that, like, oh, rebuy tournaments are unfair or they favor the deep pocket, well, why can't you say that about the $50,000 horse? Why can't you say that about the new $40,000 no-limit hold'em event? I mean, someone who can't afford to make rebuys in a $1,000 rebuy tournament can't afford to play even a $10,000 tournament. And they've added more and more of those. I mean, last year we had all those world championship events where it's $10,000 buy-in for Omaha, for stud, for lots of other things.
Right. Well, his objection was a little bit different with it. He was saying that there was a lot of, you couldn't really call it collusion, but people had just went in there to try and get a mess of chips, assuming they're going to rebuy three, four, five, six times and don't care, just to try to accumulate chips at a table. There'd almost be collusion between two or three of the players at the table that they're pushing all in with almost any hand, expecting to rebuy, but somebody's going to double up and get a lot of chips at the table, and that's not fair to the other people who are trying to play it just their own game.
Well, see, as far as I'm concerned, you know, when those guys are doing that, that's good news for me if I'm at the table. Because now I can just wait for a sufficiently strong hand. And yes, I have to be willing to gamble with them, so to speak. But when you've got the things, you know, like Daniel Negreanu, you know, a couple of years ago spent $48,000 on the $1,000 rebuy tournament.
Yeah, that was
and he's doing the double rebuy for $2,000 every time he goes broke. And then he's shoving in blind every hand.
Yeah.
So if I'm at his table, it's kind of like free money for me. It's high variance. You know, there's a lot of risk involved, but you know, I am going to be the favorite. I'm going to be about a 2-to-1 favorite every time on average when I get it all in with him.
Well, this is true, and I tell you, that's pretty much what Phil Hellmuth said when I talked to him. When the schedule first came out, he said the same thing. He was objecting to them eliminating it. But he would always try to go into it not to rebuy, but to build up chips against just those very people. You know, so he was not in favor of it.
The only thing that could possibly be a disadvantage is if, you know, you don't have any of those people at your table. Then you don't have that same opportunity to accumulate a huge stack at their expense. But then, you also don't have to deal with the high risk. Because if I'm at the table with one of those players, you know, on average, I'm only going to be maybe a 2-to-1 favorite when we get it all in. So that means a third of the time I'm going broke. And, you know, that means that I'm the one who's taken this big risk of having to do extra rebuys that I wouldn't have to make if I was at a table that was more sane. So, but I think it's more profitable for me to be at the table with the crazy guys.
We're talking with Greg Fosselman Raymer here on the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. Paul Harris with Dennis Phillips. Greg, tell us about your new project. What's Pro Play Live?
Pro Play Live is a new video training site. So this is a place where you would go to our website, and we charge a monthly subscription fee, and then you get unlimited access to training videos that are produced by myself and other top professional poker players. So, like, I'm actually playing right now on PokerStars. I thought it might be fun if I played that while I talked to you guys. So I'm playing some 5100 Omaha High-Low, and so far I'm up $900 since we started the interview.
You're welcome.
And what commission do I get?
None, unless you'd have to agree in advance. You're also going to take the same percentage of the loss when that happens.
Well, never mind.
Speaking of that, Greg,
if I could get a piece of Greg Raymer, I would do it any day I could.
Well,
let me tell you guys, he's a good player.
But what will happen is, like, I'll be playing just like this. I'm playing in a game, only instead of talking to you guys on the phone in an interview, I will use some software to record the video of the table, and then I'll be talking into my microphone. And I have a kind of a semi-professional setup here, you know, with a studio-quality microphone and software. So I'm going to talk into this thing, and I'm going to be describing what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. You know, so here's the strategy of every decision that I'm making. Here's the good plays and the mistakes that I'm seeing in my opponents. You know, and not just, you know, here's a bad play, but, you know, why is their play wrong? You know, or why is my play right? Or if I make a mistake and then I realize it, I'll say, okay, that was stupid of me. I shouldn't have done that. You know, and this is why I shouldn't have done it. And so people just get to access these videos, and you can just watch them an unlimited number of times and unlimited volume. And it's like $20 a month. And there's videos by me, Tom McAvoy, Bill Chen, Annie Duke, Eric Seidel.
Wow.
So, you know, you got some big-name players that really know what they're talking about.
You know, but even if I didn't agree with the way you play the hand, at least I see your logic behind it and can understand it. And I would bet that there would be times, too, when I would look and go, oh, wow, you know, that's excellent.
I hope so.
This is a very good concept, very good concept.
Yep. So we started this site, you know, with these training videos. It's the same management behind the World Series of Poker Academy, the same businessmen who run the academy that I teach at on occasion, also are the ones who created Pro Play Live. Mm-hmm. And that's something else. I'm heading out next weekend to the Windstar Casino in Oklahoma to teach another one of the World Series of Poker Academies. And that's a live 2-day poker camp. So people pay a tuition, and they get instruction by myself or other top poker players. There's usually two or three well-known instructors, and then we also usually have Joe Navarro there. Mm-hmm. And Joe is a former FBI agent who teaches people how to read tells, basically. His job in the FBI was to train interrogators as to how to tell if suspects were lying or not. You know, if you were talking to a witness or a suspect, you know, how do you know if they're lying or telling the truth?
All right, so that's the World Series of Poker Academy, which is next weekend at the Windstar Casino in Oklahoma, which is about an hour from Dallas, I think, right up I-35 there. And you can also find out more about Pro Play Live by going to proplaylive.com. I just want to back up for a minute here, if you don't mind. You and Dennis were joking about, you know, commissions and percentages and that sort of stuff. Since you've both become poker millionaires at the World Series of Poker,
here we go.
I'll ask both of you this. Greg, you first. Do you have people coming to you and saying, will you back me? Will you buy me into the World Series of Poker this year or a smaller circuit event or that sort of thing? And have you done that with your own money?
I get those requests, but nowhere near as often as I thought I would. I mean, I know that when I was at Foxwoods, I lived 6 miles from Foxwoods when I won the main event and was there a couple days a week. And it was well known to all the other regulars, don't bother to ask Greg because the answer is always no. Because my policy was never borrow, never lend.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too much stuff like that going on in the poker room. And it was also almost unheard of that I would stake anybody. So people didn't really ask for that either. And I thought, you know, well, that was going to be one of the you know, I mean, I've got a golden cloud with a black lining instead of a, you know, dark cloud with a silver lining when I won the main event. You know, mostly good, but, you know, there's going to be some negative things with it. And I figured that would be one of the negatives. But surprisingly, I haven't been asked for loans or staking all that often. And I'm probably a lot less than most people in the poker world would guess. There was a kid I'd never, didn't know who he was, never seen him before, never heard his name, nothing. Comes up to me in the hallway at the World Series last year and starts telling me why I should put him into the 50K horse.
How'd that work out for him?
He had zero chance. I mean, the only way he was going to get 50K off me was if he robbed me successfully.
Which, as we know, successfully is the key word there, because after your incident in the Bellagio, that didn't work out for those guys either. Anyway, Dennis, have people done that with you?
Absolutely have. I get it all the time. I didn't have the reputation of turning people down. I'm rapidly getting, though, unfortunately, because if you give an inch. Yeah, I wasn't smart enough like Greg here and should have just started from the get-go. Sorry, guys, never going to happen. Forget it. I learned the hard way on a few of them. So I'm afraid, no, I am not. Yet. Go to your local ATM, not to me.
Gotcha. Well, Greg, it's been a pleasure having you on the
Dennis
show.
Dennis is the local ATM, they say.
Not at the poker table, he's not. And that reminds me, sometime we'd like to get you here to come play in our Tuesday night 5-10 game here at Lumiere if you ever make it back to St. Louis. Do you still have family here?
No, I didn't really have family there. My parents moved there right before I started high school, and that was just because my dad got a job offer there, but it wasn't because we had any relatives, and still don't have any family there. I've got friends, you know, from high school, from Rolla, who still live in the area, and I've been to St. Louis a couple of times since I left school, but not terribly often, but I got nothing against it. You're more likely actually to find me in Kansas City because my brother and his wife and four kids and now my parents all live in the Kansas City area.
Well, we might be able to tie the two together or something that way. I know you do a number of charity work, and I congratulate you for that. In fact, when I was in Florida down there, we participated in the same tournament down there with Seth Joyner and Lawrence Taylor and a number of the other guys. And I guess you're going to another one this Friday, my understanding is.
Yeah, so, it's called Par and Poker. So if people go to the Internet, they can just search. It's parandpoker.com, or I should say that slower, parandpoker.com, if I mispronounced it. But that's run by the Joyner Walker Foundation, which Seth Joyner is the president of, from NFL fame. And they had their charity event in Tampa right before the Super Bowl, and now they're doing another one before the NBA All-Star game. So that'll be a round of golf and a poker tournament at the Gila River Wild Horse Pass Casino, south of Phoenix.
Well, thanks a bunch for being on here, Greg. We've got several charity things coming up that I participate in. I might be talking to you about it. We'll just see what happens.
Well, if I'm able to help, I'm pretty much always glad to do so. You know, for me, and as you're going to be learning for you now, as your poker future continues, the hard part is finding time because I don't know how busy you've gotten now, but I'm away from home about 7 months a year doing various things. So a lot of travel.
Okay. Well, again, thanks very much for coming on the show here.
Happy to
insightful
do it.
On it. Well, I think you brought a couple of very insightful things here.
Thank you.
That website I will be going on to myself.
Greg Lehner, the Fossil Man, joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com. Now we're about Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, a great place out in the Chesterfield Valley, which has got factory closeout deals going on now on poker tables for your home. If you've got poker tournaments going on in your basement every weekend or once a month or whenever they are, or you'd like to start playing some, you can get your poker tables from Amini's. They've also got craps tables and blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables and accessories, all on factory closeout deals right now. You can also save $100 on Amini's complete game room packages from just $19.95. Save thousands on Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites. Get American-made slate pool tables for $995. And take advantage of Amini's lowest prices ever on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and seating for your home theater as well. Hurry to the Choice of Champions. It's Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 at Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley. It's the home of the Copper Dome, Amini's. We'll be back with more of the Lumiere Place Final Table here on 5-9 of the Fan KFNS with the poker coach Joe McGowan right after this.
Now, here are two guys giving off reverse tells and trying to take your stack, Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Broadway Truck Centers.
And Dennis Phillips here. I worked at Broadway Truck Centers before I went out there, and I continue to work down there. It has a service department, a rental department, a sales department, a parts department, and a body shop department. Any and all needs you need for your trucks for any commercial company at all. And we've expanded it somewhat. If you're looking for any kind of an SUV, any kind of a van, including the new Flex that Ford has brought out, we can handle it and take care of it down there. We also do pretty much anything on the used department, including looking for fins. I go online all the time, look for trucks for people from Arizona to Florida to whatever. Give me your specific needs, and we can take care of it. The company's been in business now for over 40 years, the same location with the same owners. People are there, the mechanics, some of them with 20, 30, and 40 years of experience. You can't beat it, guys. If you want something taken care of and taken care of right the first time, come down to Broadway Truck Centers. 314-241-9140 or go to BroadwayTrucks.com. Any trucking needs you need, it'll be handled there.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table, broadcasting live from the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis. You're at 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And we're joined now by the poker coach, Joe McGowan. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, good, Paul. Doing well. How are you doing today?
We're doing very well. One of the things that Dennis and I have been thinking about in terms of tonight's show is as we sit here in this poker room at Lumiere, we've got people playing in a high-stakes game. We've got people playing in low-stakes games. We've got people playing, you know, 3-6 limit games. We've got people playing 1 and 3 blind no-limit games. And I thought maybe you could give us a little bit of help for people who are at that level about what beginners or people who are, you know, relatively new to the game need to know when they sit down at the table. Can you give us some help there?
Are you talking in regards to, you know, basically like poker tells or just in general? Or?
Well, yeah, you're known for being able to look around a table and see what you see on the faces of the other people. For instance, if I sit down at a table full of people who I've never met before, what can I tell about them just by looking at them?
Just by looking at them? Well, you can definitely try to profile people and put people in a category. You know, if you see a player and they stack all their chips neatly in stacks of 20, the way they're dressed, they might even be in a tie, and they're sitting there very neat. And, you know, most often that player might be profiled as being a little bit tight, someone that's not going to splash around. Then you might look at another player that has a big pile of chips and they're messy and, you know, that could be Josh, the poker lawyer. he may be an action player, you know what I mean? And that might fit Josh. I don't want Josh to get mad at me. I'm kind of half kidding that part is true about his poker.
Yes, it is.
That might be an action player. But you know, that is only a small portion, and that does get into the tells. And, you know, tells, I think, are important, like betting patterns and a lot of other things with poker. When you have more information, when you're putting the pieces of the puzzle together and you have more pieces of the puzzle, if everything is going together down the same road, your decisions are easier. So, for instance, you know, people are beginners and kind of trying to talk with the question you asked me for. When people come and they sit at the table, whether at the 3-6 game or playing the high-stakes game, my advice would be, you know, as soon as they sit down at the table before the cards are in the air, they might start to profile people a little bit, and they might start to look at what they're, you know, how are they sitting? How are they breathing? You know, do they have the jittery leg like the nervous fifth-grade kid, or are they sitting there calm and relaxed? What do their hands look like as they're putting the chips in for their big blind? Are they steady and calm? Do they have kind of chronic shaky hand? There's a whole lot of things that you want to look at. And study, you know, even before you get cards and without question while you're not even in the hand to try to get some of this type of information. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. A couple of points Joe brings up here that he's absolutely correct on. When you sit down at a table, you look around and you know, you profile. You do the same thing you do in real life. If you have a salesman, if you have a counter person, if you have some business guy you're approaching, you immediately profile them whether you want to or not. That's just part of natural instinct on it.
Right.
You look at the a young or old, well-dressed or not, affluent or not, male or female. I mean, my gosh, there's a thousand different things here that you do it with.
Right.
And you have to form an instant opinion of those other 8 or 9 people at the table. The thing you got to be careful of is you don't want to get locked into that opinion, because a lot of times people do not follow that initial profile. You've got to be a little bit careful with that.
And that's where, Dennis, you know, Dennis, just picking up with what you're saying, of course I'm in total agreement, but that's where a lot of people, they may not agree with tells, or they may think betting patterns are more important. You know, I think everything's
for sure.
important, and I think it all
yeah.
adds up to making the correct decision. So, for instance, if you profile somebody just by sitting down that you think they may be a tight player because they stack their chips neatly and they look neat and they have a tie and all that and they didn't buy in for much or something, and they're, you know, now you're sitting there and they're hardly playing a hand, and now when they get in a hand, you know, and then they roll over that they had pocket kings, you want to remember, what did they look like? You know, you wanted
yep.
to pay attention to that hand. Follow, you know, the action. Pay attention. Don't look at the TV and turn away and, you know, not pay any interest because you're not in the hand. You know, when the person put the chips in the pot, you know, how did they count them out? I mean, every possible detail. And you're trying to find things that are a little bit different and perhaps a little bit unique to them. You know, what did they say? How did they say it? And you want to lock that away. If it's a regular cash game, you know, Paul, you said, you know, you got 3-6 down there and higher limit, all different limits. If it's a regular cash game, if it's somebody you play with frequently, you want to bank that stuff away. Maybe even write it down in your home journal if you're a little more serious of a player. And then you can kind of have a log or a list of all the different players that you play with on a regular basis. And you certainly want to pay more attention to the regular players than a guy that comes into that town and you're never going to see him again. But you could write all this down and keep notes and keep track of everybody. And pretty soon you develop a pretty big arsenal of weapons and tells that you have against these people, and you can use, you know, to your advantage. And I think it's huge and crazy not to do that. You know, I would strongly recommend that to the listeners and players.
I agree with you 100%. And to expand upon what Joe's saying, he made a very valid point there. It's a lot easier to follow the other players when you're actually not in the hand than when you're playing the hand. If you can pick it up, if you sit there and you concentrate and you watch the other players instead of, like you said, watching the TV or flirting with the waitress or whatever the heck, you know, see what they're doing when you're not in the hand, where you can go back and forth between the two or three people in it and pick up the tells in. It'll help you out so much later in the game when you're actually in the hand, when you're trying to look at your own cards and not being able to watch them as closely.
Those are great points,
totally,
Joe.
Totally agree.
Great stuff.
Absolutely agree with that.
Great stuff as always, Joe. We'll check back with you next week for some more tips. We'll have things for beginners and intermediate and maybe even some higher limit players as the weeks go on from Joe McGowan, the poker coach, here on the Lumiere Place Final Table. Thank you, Joe.
Hey, love it, guys. Thanks so much. Great job. We'll catch you later.
Hey, see you next week out at the Commerce.
Okay, Dennis. Looking forward to it, buddy.
All righty.
This portion of the show brought to you by Broadway Truck Centers. We're back right after this.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Paul Harris and St. Louis's own poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips, on 590 The Fan KFNS.
We are live from the Lumiere Place Poker Room at Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis. A reminder about Dennis's website, which is thechipleader.com. If you ever miss one of these shows, we get them up as a podcast, usually within about 24 hours. But get it up on thechipleader.com. You can also go there and email Dennis. In fact, you can do that anytime by going by emailing dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com. If you've got hands that you've been involved in or questions about anything poker-related that you'd like Dennis to answer here on the show, that's dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com, and the website is thechipleader.com. Time now for the poker lawyer, Josh Schindler, brought to you by the Pro... What is it? The Poker Players Alliance, the PPA. Yeah.
The PPA, Paul, and it's something I'm a proud member of. It's a nonprofit membership organization. It's comprised of both online and offline poker players. The membership is a group of enthusiasts from all around the U.S. They've joined together to try and speak in one voice to promote the game and to protect the right to play poker in all its forms. We've talked about this in previous weeks about how we really think some of these laws are archaic and should be changed, and their mission is basically to establish favorable laws that provide the poker players with a secure, a safe, and a regulated place to play.
In fact, Greg Raymer, who we had on earlier in the
Absolutely.
Show, he was a charter member of the the PPA and has actually testified on their behalf in front of Congress, which you have volunteered to do as
I have volunteered to do, and it appears I'll probably be doing that. I've been out to, in fact, the PPA was the one that sent me out to Walter Reed for an experience that I'll never forget, and they were instrumental in doing that. So they do a lot of good out there, and the entire mission statement is simple. You know, let's let us play poker.
PPA.org is the website for more information. And now the poker lawyer, Josh Schindler, joins us here this afternoon. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Paul, very nice to see you. I heard the end of Joe's segment, and I understand that I was called an action player before. that would be the understatement of the decade. I think people have a text that go out that say Josh is in the poker room, and people start flooding from
Josh,
all over the place.
You don't realize it, but the big sign in front of Lumiere flashes. Josh is here. Josh is here.
Well, Dennis, I've got to tell one Joe story before I get to the segment for today, which is a continuation of last week. I was with Joe on a flight to England, and we played heads-up poker, and $9,000 later, Joe said, do you want a list of your 37 confirmed tells? I will only tell you that that was the best $9,000 I ever spent since that time. I've more than multiplied my winnings at the poker table, so I appreciate Joe.
The only problem is he's also multiplied his tells.
Yeah, well, that is the problem. There are so many tells now that no one has any idea where I stand on a hand.
Now, Josh, we talked last week about some of the help that you were able to give Dennis as he was approaching the final table of the World Series of Poker 2008 main event. And this week you're going to talk a little bit about how players can turn their play at the tables into endorsement dollars.
And that's correct. And there, as we all know by looking at the ESPN broadcast, almost every player at either the feature table, which are the tables that a TV focuses on, or the final table, wear either, for the most part, full tilts or Poker Stars, and this show is sponsored by Poker Stars, so we'll focus on Poker Stars. And the way it works is if you play online with Poker Stars, there is, and you get to the World Series of Poker through Poker Stars, there are some programs you can enter where they reimburse you if you're at a feature table, which is televised, or at a final table. Another way to do it is if you don't get in through Poker Stars, generally, if you're at a feature table or at a final table, you will be approached, or you can, for example, call the poker lawyer and ask for an endorsement deal. And so each place has different protocols on what they're looking for. Poker Stars has really looked towards the type of player that represents Poker Stars. They're looking for players who they perceive as good ambassadors to the game.
It's not just the play, it's the whole person?
It is, and Poker Stars has really evolved and moved towards that. And, for example, when I was involved in the negotiations for Dennis, what Poker Stars said repeatedly is, you know, obviously he's a phenomenal player, and I think you've heard people repeat over and over again what a good player Dennis is, but Poker Stars really focused on the being the ambassador of the game. Full Tilt, I'm not saying doesn't look at that, but they focus more on who's going to be on TV, who's going to be shown more. And one of the things, in addition to both the feature table and the final table, you have to look for the contracts that they give everyone. And poker, although it's been around for a while, these endorsement deals have not moved to the point where these are really tight contracts. And Dennis, as Dennis knows, I spent a great deal of time negotiating his contract. My advice, if it's one of the smaller tournaments where there's a structured payout, and typically they range from $21,000 or $25,000 if you win the tournament to smaller amounts if you come in third, you're not so much, if it's a one-time deal, you shouldn't really be concerned that much with the contractual language because you're going to be paid when the tournament is over. But as you get to the WSOP, and especially the main event, where you are talking seven-figure endorsement contracts, it is my suggestion to all players out there that you call a lawyer, preferably the poker lawyer.
At thepokerlawyer.com.
Doesn't plug himself.
No, yeah. I don't plug myself, but it's really important because these are million-dollar deals now.
This
poker is
point.
Not a cottage industry anymore. So it's not just the money you make from poker, but really this is an industry where you move to long-term relationships with these companies. And also at the WSOP, there is a tendency that when you sign with one of the bigger groups, it's very hard to transition. And so that is my suggestion to all the poker players out there. Get the extra cash for making it to a feature table. Get the extra cash for making it to a final table, preferably PokerStars. They're a phenomenal organization. I'm very pleased with really everybody I've worked with at PokerStars. But most important, realize that you should look at contracts and you should get advice and you should get the extra money that comes.
Let me ask you both a question here. While we're talking about endorsements, you talk mostly about getting it from PokerStars or their competitors. Do you see a time anytime soon where we're going to get past that and get to the level where, for instance, a guy from NASCAR is getting deals with, Valvoline and Budweiser and Sears and that sort of stuff? Are we going to see that in the poker world anytime soon?
Absolutely. I don't know what level, but just look at the different levels it's come. In 03, when it hit the big scenes and everything like that, and poker kind of blossomed out, they put the cams in there so you can see the whole cars, and everybody started loving to watch it. This last year, when they did the delay thing, and they built it up, and they had the biggest audience they've had almost ever in a poker, it's growing. Growing by leaps and bounds. Poker is coming out from this smoke-filled back room, shady glass type of a setup now to a mainstream where you have your grandmother on one side and your son on the other, and you're out there playing for fun,
mm-hmm.
which is what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs to be regulated, it needs to be safe, it needs to be secure, but it needs to be out there for everybody to play and enjoy.
And, Paul, there's been a movement, for example, Planters Peanuts. Is the sponsor of the WSOP. It's clearly moving in the right direction. Right now, you've got the beer companies, you've got the peanut companies, but there's an inevitability. This is a high profile. There are millions of people playing poker every day. There is an inevitability to endorsement contracts, very much like you have with NASCAR. Obviously, when the law is clarified on gambling online, that will be a big push, but there is an inevitability to companies outside the peanut companies, the food industry, the beer company. It is coming, and it is a huge industry, and poker will be a huge industry for decades to come.
All right, Josh Schindler, the poker lawyer, who is online at thepokerlawyer.com and a regular contributor to the Lumiere Place Final Table. Thank you, Josh. This portion of the show brought to you by PokerStars.
And just as a final thing for what Josh was saying, too, the one thing I loved about PokerStars is when I went with these charities, they matched my donation, some of this. They've helped me and backed me on all these other causes. They look at more than just the player. Josh touched upon that, and really kudos to PokerStars for being so involved with the PPA and being so involved in the charities and really supporting everyone in that way.
And by the way, Dennis and Elon Schwartz, who was one of his fellow members of the November 9, mm-hmm. are the most recent members of Team PokerStars Pro, which is now up to 32 different players, and we'll be having several of those players joining us. We had Barry Greenstein last week, Greg Raymer tonight. Next week, Vanessa Russo, and the week after that, Chris Moneymaker, all part of Team PokerStars Pro, joining us here on the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. When we come back, Dennis has a hand that one of our listeners has a question about.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Now, taking you from the flop to the river, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris talking poker at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS.
This portion of the show brought to you by Bridell Remodeling. Ron Bridell's company in the Metro East is the one to call when you want to fix up your house. When you're sitting around tonight in your kitchen looking at those cabinets, and thinking to yourself, you know what, we've had this house for a long time, and these are the same stinking green cabinets that were in here, and I've never liked this color, and it's time to get these changed.
Okay, enough about your house. Let's go on.
that's when you call Ron Bridell at Bridell Remodeling, or go to the website at homewithron.com, because they can help you get rid of those cabinets, or put in new countertops, or realign your entire kitchen, or your basement, or your bathroom, or put a new addition on the house. They are your full service remodel company. And with all the people who are not selling their homes now because of the market, but are instead staying in their house and fixing it up to look better, Now's the time to call Bradell Remodeling, the company that does the best remodeling in the Metro East. Go to that website, athomewithron.com. And when you call them, when you get through to Bradell Remodeling, you will get through to a human being. This is one of the things, I've mentioned this before, because I hate getting those phone trees, don't you? Push one for this, push two for that, push three for the other thing. You don't have to push anything. A human being will answer the phone and answer your questions and help set up an appointment with one of Ron's people to come out and take a look at what you have in your house, what you can do to make it look better, and how you can remodel that place. Bradell Remodeling. Get all the information at homewithron.com. Bradell Remodeling, a proud sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table. Here with Paul Harris and Dennis Phillips. And you've had somebody here at the Lumiere Place Poker Room come up to you with a hand and a question about it. What was that?
Well, let me see if I can do it briefly because we don't have a whole lot of time here. You're in a tournament. You're down to the final table, nine people. They're paying five spots on that. You are the chip leader. You have 51,000 in front of you out of about 140,000. So you have a ton of chips in front of you.
About a third of the chips.
Yeah. Second place guy has about 36,000. So he's substantially below you, but, you know, he's got a good chunk of change there.
Yep.
You're the big button, big blind. It's right there. One caller ahead of you, who happens to be the guy in second, limps in for the 6,000. It's 3,000, 6,000 blinds.
Okay.
You look at your hand. You have the 2-3 of diamonds. That's it.
2-3 of diamonds.
But you're already in for the pot. He just limped in. So you just call. Or do you raise with a 2-3 on that?
I'm probably just tapping the table, and let's see what the flop looks like.
I was hoping you'd say that. All right.
Because we're going to be heads up, you said.
Yeah, heads up is what it's going to be.
Okay.
You close the bidding. It's a very close, important term. You close the bidding here.
Yes.
All right. Flop comes out. 4 of diamonds. 5 of diamonds. 8 of hearts.
I have flopped a straight flush draw.
Correct. You have an open in straight. You have a flush draw. You have a phenomenal flop on the side.
Ace 5 of diamonds comes. I've got the nuts. Absolute stone nuts. Otherwise, any ace, any 5, or any diamond, I'm probably in the lead.
Okay.
You ask what I do here?
What do you do there?
I'm probably going to bet out.
Well, bet what you want.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, the other guy is pushing all in.
Really?
Yeah.
And then?
What do you do?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, do you bet out in that situation?
In that situation with the two diamonds and being low and you're just a caller? All right, if he's got two high cards, he's going to figure you're the big blind, you're likely to catch that. I actually would probably check there.
Okay.
And let him make a continuation bet and then pounce on it is what I would do.
So would you push all in on him then? If you checked and he made a continuation bet, would you come over the top on him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'd push it in there and go. You're the chip leader at the final table. You want them to come after you. When you get a hand like this, you want to take it down. You want to build your stack up. You don't want them, you know, doing anything against you.
All right. Well, when he comes over the top on me, since I was stupid enough to bet out.
Either way, he's pushing all in. Let's say you make a $9,000 bet or a $12,000 bet or whatever. Or you check. It makes no difference. This guy's pushing all in. What do you do?
Well, he's either got an overpair or he's flopped ace-8 or something like that. You know, if he just limped in pre-flop, I got to put him on certainly a pair and probably not a set. Mm-hmm. Either way, my draw is going to beat him if I hit. Mm-hmm. If this is a cash game, I probably call. If it's a tournament, I don't know what to do. You tell me quickly.
Actually, you've got to there. Even if the guy's got a set, you're still a favorite to win it. He turns over pocket tens, you actually have a 57% chance to win it. How can you fold this? You have an open-ended straight flush draw.
All right.
There is no way in the world I'm folding that thing.
There you are. Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris live from the Lumiere Place Poker Room. We'll be back here again next Tuesday night from 6 until 7. You can send your questions to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com or check the website, thechipleader.com. Thank you for listening. Stand by for Kenny Strode with Kegler's Corner next on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.